show them to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Gimel. We are starting daf Samach Beis Amud Beis about two lines off the bottom with the words Elo Amarava. And today's daf is sponsored Lilu Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas Yaakov Maisha Hernan Shama Shad Avin Aliyah Elilu Nishmas Mars Rivka Bas Merim Zev Hernan Shama Shad Avin Aliyah. So we had concluded right in the middle of the sugya. The Mishnah asked Ezu Tarbis and taught that this is a case where a car of wheat was purchased for 25 dinar and subsequently went up in price to 30 dinar. And when the buyer asked for his wheat because he wanted to buy wine with it, the seller offered to take on the wheat as a debt and give the buyer 30 dinar of wine instead. The problem is the seller didn't have the wine. So the Gemara asked, why is it relevant that he doesn't have wine? And there were two answers. Rabba was the first. Abai asked on his answer and gave a different answer, which totally switched around the original understanding. And then Rava asked on Abaye. And here we have another explanation from Rava, which is very similar to the first explanation, Rabba's. And the Gemara says, El Marava, Rava says as follows, Kishchivna, when I die, Rabbi Shai Nafak Lavasi, Rabbi Shai is going to come out and greet me. And why would that be? Because I always explain Mishnayis like he taught in Brises. So turn Rabbi Shai taught in a Brisa. Somebody's owed a mana by his friend, and he goes and stands by his threshing floor, and he tells him, "Tell me, give me my money, because I want to buy wheat with them." So the borrower says, "Chitin yeshli, I have wheat. I'll give you wheat instead of money. Let's go and I'll take it upon myself, like the current value it is." So let's say he owed him $100. He tells him, instead of me giving you the $100 in cash, I'll give you $100 in wheat, but he didn't yet give it to him. And he gives manchitin limkar. It came time to sell the wheat, meaning wheat went up in price, and now this $100 of wheat is actually worth $120. So Amrulai, the fellow tells him, "Tell me chitin, give me my wheat. Shani rotz l'machem v'likach ban yayin. I want to sell it and buy wine with it." So Amrulai, he tells him, "Yashli yayin shin nais l'cha. I'll give you wine instead of the wheat. Save us on a like a shashal achshav. Let's go and I'll take it upon myself, like the current value." In other words, he's saying, "I'm going to now give you $120 worth of wine," but he didn't actually give him the wine yet. And he gives malim kar. Now it came time to sell the wine, meaning wine went up in price, and this $120 of wine is worth $140. But Amrulai, he tells him, "Tell me yayin, give me my wine. Shani rotz l'machem. I want to sell it by shemen and buy oil with it." Amar Lois, the fellow tells him, "Shemen yeshli, I have oil. Shani nais l'cha. I'll give you that oil instead. Seba so alai kishasha achshav. Let's go set the price now like the current value of oil. In other words, I'll give you $140 worth of oil." Kulam, in all these situations and all these stages along the way, im yeshloi mutter. If he has an actual product in stock, if he has the wheat, the wine, or the oil, he's allowed to do this. Ainloi, if he doesn't have it, usser, then it's usser. And it's the same thing in our Mishnah. The reason why he's not allowed to give 30 worth of wine is because, as the Mishnah said, he doesn't have the wine. If he had the wine, it wouldn't be a problem. Let's just further explain this. This is similar, yet different than Rabba's answer. Rabba had quoted a similar brisa, but we had concluded that at the time the borrower agrees to provide goods as payment, he has to have received money. And this is called Isare Habal Yadai. If he doesn't receive money, then we have a ribbis issue. But over here with Rabbi Shai's brisa, it's stated very clearly that even though he's not receiving money, as long as he has the goods that he promised, there's no ribbis. And why is that? Because neither party is allowed to back out without getting a mishapara. So it's considered as if a kinyan was made, turning this into a case of mecher, not halva. Again, even though he's using the goods to pay back a loan, since he has those goods in stock when he says he's going to give them, it's considered more like mecher and not like halva, and that's why there's no issues of ribbis. And we just conclude with our explanation of the Mishnah, umay lokach. So what does our Mishnah mean when it says lokach? Remember, the way the Mishnah had set up the case was that he had bought wheat from him, but over here we're talking about a loan and we're not talking about a purchase case. So what does it mean that lokach hemenu chitin bediner, that he bought wheat? And the answer is lokach balva asai. It means he purchased it for his loan. In other words, he's owed money by this fellow, and instead of receiving the cash, he agrees to receive the wheat instead for the value of the cash. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. The Gemara continues on Rava. Rava tells us, Shema Mina Rabbi Shai Tlas. We learn three things from Rabbi Shai's Braisa. Shema Mina, number one, we learn that we could establish or we could set a loan to be repaid with payrois, with produce, and not with cash. And we don't say that this is not a case of Yisar Bal Yadai. In other words, we don't say that since he's not receiving money right now, it's a problem. It's okay for the loan to be repaid in produce and not in cash. And this is literally what we had just explained in the Braisa. And Ushmamino, we also learned from Rabbi Shai's Braisa, Udiyashloi, it has to be that he has that product. He has to have the goods in order for it not to be a problem. And Ushmamino, lastly, we learn that Isol Rabbi Yanai, we hold Rabbi Yanai. What does Rabbi Yanai say? Rabbi Yanai tells us, Mali Hain Mali Demayan. What does make a difference if it's them, meaning if it's the original product, or if it's Demayan, the value of the product? And what's this referring to? The Itmar was stated, Rav Amar Rav says, Oisin Amana Bepeiros, Vein Oisin Amana Bedamim. We could do amana with payrois, but not with damim. In other words, a person is allowed to advance payment for payrois, and even if the price of those payrois goes up before he receives them, it's not a problem. And that's what we mean by amana. He's advancing money. He's trusting the person to take his money and give him the payrois. But again, that's only if he's going to be receiving payrois. But we're not allowed to do this amana deal with damim, meaning he's not allowed to advance money to receive the payrois with a stipulation that if the payrois go up in value, he's going to receive their cash value. Because according to Rav, that's ribbis. If I pay $100 for wheat with the stipulation reason that if this wheat goes up to be worth $120, instead of me receiving the wheat, I'm going to get $120. Well, that looks like ribbis. I'm giving 100 and receiving 120. So it's only permitted if I receive the wheat, but not if I receive their cash value. However, Rabbi Yani Amar, this is where Rabbi Yani says, Mali Hain Mali Demayin. What does it make a difference if I receive them? Meaning if I receive the product itself, meaning if I receive the product itself that I paid for, or if I receive the cash value of the product. It doesn't make a difference. It's all considered one and the same thing. And even if at the end of the day, I'm giving 100 and receiving 120, there's no issue. And that's what Rav is saying, that we learn this as well from Rabbi Shaya's Braisa. So now we ask on Shitas Rav from this very Braisa of Rabbi Shaya. Basically, Rabbi Shaya's Braisa says very clearly, Kulam im yeshloi mutter. In all the stages of Rabbi Shaya's Braisa, if he has it, meaning if he has the product in stock, the wheat, wine, or oil, so then it's permitted to do this. And this is clearly not like Rav. Rav says the product has to be delivered and not the value of the product. But we see from Rabbi Shaya's Braisa, the value of the product is being delivered. Originally, he had said, I'll give you wheat. And instead of giving wheat, he's giving wine at a higher value. And instead of giving the wine, he's giving oil at a higher value. And so the Braisa clearly seems not like Rav. So Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav Huna B'Shem Rav answers, no problem, Bishop Mashach. It's talking about where he did a Mashicha, meaning when the fellow originally said, I'll give you wheat instead of paying you your $100, the one who was owed the money was Mashach the wheat. He did a Kenyan on it, but then he left it in its original place. And then when he came later on to collect his wheat, which he already did a Mashicha on, the fellow said, you know, instead of giving you your wheat, I'll give you wine instead, because anyway, that's what you want. And that's why it's permitted. As we're Ibisha Mashach, if we're saying that he did a Mashicha on it, Suich Lamemar, do you have to say this is permitted? Of course it's permitted. It's just like we explained. All he's doing is coming to take his wheat that he already made a Kenyan on, and the fellow's saying, instead of taking your wheat, you know what? Let me give you wine instead. So of course that's not a problem. So Gemara says, you're right. We have a different answer for Rav. El Kagan Shicha Le Karen Zavis, we're talking about where the fellow designated an area for the wheat. In other words, according to Rav, Rabbi Shai's Rais is referring to where this fellow designated a spot for the goods to be stored in, and although no Kenyan was made, the mere fact there's a specific area for this produce shows that a real sale was made and is just being held here temporarily to be delivered at a later date, and this setup doesn't resemble a loan, and therefore there's no ribbis issues. Now Shmuel Amar Shmuel has a different answer. Hamani, who's Rabbi Shai's Braisa like? Rabbi Yehuda he. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amru holds, Tzad Echad B'ribis, Mutter. That if there's Tzad Echad B'ribis, it's totally permitted. What's Tzad Echad B'ribis? So Rashi explains that this exists only with a sale, and it's when one of the possible outcomes in this transaction is ribbis. Like this case of Oisin Amon B'Peirais or B'Mais. Reuven gives Shimon money for produce, and if Shimon ends up giving him the produce, so there's no issues, or if Shimon ends up giving him the value of the produce, and that's obviously when the produce goes up in value, so if he received $100, he's going to give him $120, that's a tzad, that's an outcome, which would end up being ribbis. And review the holes, when we have a transaction that there's tzad echad ribbis, one of the outcomes could be ribbis, there's no problem going through with this transaction, even in the scenario where it looks like ribbis. And that's because since the transaction wasn't set up requiring this to be the outcome, there's no problem, again, even if this higher amount ends up being paid. And where do we see the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya of a Braisa, Harisha Ainosh B'Chaver Amana, a fellow is owed Amana by his friend, so Reuven is owed Amana by Shimon, and he turned his field into a sale. Meaning, Shimon told Reuven, if I don't pay you back in time, then you can have my field instead. Basically, I'm selling you my field for that mana that I borrowed from you. So, if the Meicher, the seller, which is Shimon, he's the one that's eating the pears from the field the whole time, mutter, this is allowed. But if the buyer, which is really the lender, that's Reuven, if he's the one that's eating the pears, usser, so this is usser. Why is that? Because there's a possibility ribbis over here. If the borrower, which is Shimon, ends up repaying the loan with cash, keeping his field, but the lender, Reuven, was the one eating pears the entire time, it turns out that he was repaid more than he loaned, because the pears constitute ribbis over here, and therefore it's usser, according to Tanakama. However, Rabbi Huda says, even when Lekeach is eating the pears, it's still permitted, and this is a case of tzad echad b'ribis. One of the possible outcomes is ribis. Again, as we just explained, if Shimon ends up repaying money, but Reuven was eating the pears the entire time, those pears technically constitute ribis. That's only one of the possible outcomes. Other possibilities that Shimon does not repay Reuven, and Reuven ends up keeping the field, and so the pears that he was eating the entire time turn out to have been his the whole time. So here we have a case where Rabbi Huda clearly holds that tzad echad b'ribis is mutter, and that's Rabbi Shai's brisa is like. Amar li Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda told the chamim, "Ma'aseh b'Yisus ben Zunin." There's a story with this fellow B'Yisus ben Zunin. Shasus de'omecha pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. He did this thing. He turned his field into mecher, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria instructed him to do this. And that was a case where the lekeach was eating peres. So we see very clearly, like me, that tzad echad b'ribis is okay. So Amar li, they respond to him, "Misham raya, you have a proof from there. Meicher eichal peres haya v'loy lekeach. Over there, it was the meicher eating the peres and not the lekeach. You have to go back and check your facts, Rabbi Huda. That's not what happened. It was the meicher eating the peres and not the lekeach. So therefore, you have no raya." The Gemara says, "My benayu wasn't machlekes Rabbi Huda and the chamim," and we already explained this. Amar Abaye says, "Tzad echad b'ribis like benayu." According to Abaye, it's like we've been saying. Machlekes is, do we hold of tzad echad b'ribis? According to the chamim, if one of the possible outcomes would be an issue of ribis, so the entire thing is not okay. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda, tzad echad b'ribis is okay. Now Rava Amar Rava says differently. Ribis amanas lahachzer like benayu. Machlekes is when they get involved in a transaction that would constitute ribis, but on condition that they're going to return it. The chamim hold that's not okay, and Rabbi Huda holds it is. In other words, according to Rava, Rabbi Huda holds that there is an issue issue of ribbis over here, and the ribbis would not be allowed to be kept. Namely, if the lekech is the one that's eating the peiros, and at the end of the day, the meicher, which is the one who had borrowed the money, repays the money and keeps his field and doesn't allow the lekech to keep the field, so the peiros that the lekech ate are ribbis and are not allowed to be kept, and they have to be returned. But as long as they're returned, there's no problem of ribbis over here. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and again, the chamim argue with that. And continuing with Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rav, Rava says, Hashadam Rabbi Yanai, now that Rabbi Yanai says, that we say this concept of Mali Hain Mali Dmeyan, the Reuven can make an agreement with Shimon, giving him $100 for pay rice for some sort of produce. And if the produce goes up in value, that Shimon's going to give him the higher value in cash and not in produce. Basically, turning out that Reuven gave him $100 and he's receiving $120, and that's not a ribbis issue. So, based off of that, says Rava, Mali Dmeyan Mali Hain Nami Aminon. We also would say Mali Dmeyan Mali Hain, which means that there's also no difference if the seller, Shimon, has them or their value, meaning it doesn't make a difference if at the beginning of this transaction, when Reuven gives the money to Shimon, if Shimon has the produce or not. Even if Shimon doesn't have the produce, it's not a problem. Since he has the money to buy the product, that itself is sufficient, and this deal is not ribbis. And therefore, Pesach al Shar Shah B'Shuk, we can also learn that one can make this business deal, this stipulation, based off of the Shar of the Shuk, an existing price that we have in the market, even though he doesn't have the goods. And it's not a chiddush, we've said this multiple times, money's allowed to be advanced for goods, even though the seller doesn't have them in stock, as long as they're available for purchase at this agreed upon price in other stores. In a different terminology, as we've had previously, this is called Yatza Hashar. The official market value for this product has been set. But now something has to be explained over here. This is a Beferish Mishnah later on Daf Ayin Beis, and we had quoted this on the previous Daf. So what exactly is Rava teaching us here that's a Chiddush? We already know this. And the answer is that it depends on how to determine what's considered fair market value for something. Because throughout the season, prices actually fluctuate, and we're going to see this a little bit later on in the Gemara as well. And therefore, there's a key difference between that Mishnah and over here. The Mishnah over there is discussing Yatza Hashar, and there's Machlek Samarayim at what point in time in the season it's called Yatza Hashar. Over here, though, Rava used the term Shar Shebashuk, which is a set price earlier on in the season than Yatza Hashar. And therefore, Rava's Chedesh is that we could be Paisek Ala Peiros even when we're just holding by Shar Shebashuk and we didn't yet reach Yatza Hashar. However, now we have a question on this. Is Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brid, Rav Shula, Rava, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna, Brid, Rav Shua asked Rava, we have a Brisa we had just quoted before many times, this Rabbi Shai's Brisa, Kulam Yeshalai Mutter. In all these situations and all the stages, if he has the produce, then it's permitted. Meaning, if he has the wheat, wine, or oil, so then he's allowed to say, okay, I'll give you wheat at this price, wine at this price, or oil at this price. And him ain't loy usser. If he doesn't have the product right now, if he doesn't have the goods in stock, so he's not allowed to get involved in this business deal. Whereas according to Rava, shouldn't make a difference. Even if he doesn't currently have the goods, since the goods are available for purchase somewhere else, it shouldn't be a problem. And the Brisa clearly shows not like Rava. So Amalahu, Rava told them, Hasam Halva, Hachazvini. Over there, we're talking about a loan. In the case of a loan, where the borrower owes the lender money, and instead of paying him the money, he says, you know what, I'll give you goods. So if he doesn't actually have those goods in his house or in his storage right then, even though they are available for purchase, it's still a problem with ribbis because again, it's a loan. But when we're talking about a sale, buyer advancing the seller money to deliver the product at a later date, it's not a problem if the seller doesn't have the goods because he could buy them at any given store and it doesn't look like ribbis because again, it's a sale and it's not a loan. And continuing with this concept, Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Chavayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef Bosei, my tama amar rabbanon paskal al shar shabashok v'afal pi she'ein loy. Why is it the Chum said that one could be paskal al shar shabashok? Again, that we could get involved in this business deal based off of an existing market price, the Reuven advances $100 to Shimon to give him $100 worth of whatever product it is. And even though Shimon doesn't have the product right now, it's not a problem because there's a set market value to it and he could go buy it at any of the stores. Why is that Beseder? Again, the Chashash always is that maybe it's going to go up in value before he delivers it. And then by the time he's delivering this product, he's giving something that's worth more money than it originally was and that looks like ribbis. The answer is Darmalay because the buyer could always tell the seller when he's receiving this product, again, even though the product is at a higher value right now, this favor they did for me is taken and thrown on the thorns. My honestly, what did you benefit me? Meaning, what gain did you give me? I gave you money for a product. By the time you gave me the product, it was worth more. So you're going to say I gained because I paid for it at a lower value and now it's a higher value? Well, if I had the money on my own and I never bought the product from you, I would have been able to buy it in Hini and Shili for cheaper. In other words, the buyer could tell the seller, you didn't do me any favors. I could have done this all by myself. I'm a capable guy. I could have taken my money, gone to the markets in Hini and Chile, bought this produce for cheap, stored it until now in my house, and made this profit all by myself. And therefore, this gain is not viewed as ribbis. The bottom line is, he could have gained the same profit without this whole transaction. That's why the transaction is not viewed as ribbis. That's really so. Well, mutar lova sa basa. Then we should be allowed to get involved in a transaction of sa basa. Remember, sa basa is when a sa is borrowed and returned later. And the reason we had given for answering this is because if it goes up in price in the interim, the lender is receiving more than he gave. And the question is that based off our current logic, sa basa should be okay. And why is that mishum demati amrle? Because the lender could always tell the borrower, this favor that you're doing for me, meaning the fact you're giving me produce that now is worth more money than when I gave it to you, that favor is thrown into the thorns. It's not benefiting me anymore. Because the lender could continue telling the borrower, when my wheat have sprouted, meaning gotten ruined in my storehouse, what happened? I lent you wheat and it was worth a lower value, and now when you're giving me back that wheat, it's now at a higher value. So you think that you're benefiting me, but you're not giving me any benefit. If I would have kept my wheat in the storage house and not have lent it to you, it's not like it would have gotten ruined there. It would have gone up in value in my house the same way it went up in value in your house, so you're not really benefiting me at all. And therefore, using this logic, saw basa should be mutter. Over there, it's alva. Saw basa is a loan. And therefore, even though you have this logic, since we're dealing with a loan, it's still ribbis. Whereas over here, we're talking about a sale where Reuven advanced money for a product and he's going to be getting that product at a later date. And when this happens in sale format, as we just explained previously, it doesn't look like ribbis. Here, we just have another question on this. He still has to pay money to the middleman. What was the whole logic of the buyer to the seller? You didn't gain me anything at all. I could have taken my money, went to the markets in Hini and Shili, and bought this on my own, and I would have made this profit on my own. I didn't need you to help me make this profit. But now Rav Barav is asking Rava, there is still some sort of gain over here. Because if this buyer would have went to the markets in Hini and Shili on his own, he would have had to pay the middleman. The middleman is like the agent. He's the broker that makes the deal in between the buyer and the seller. And now he's saving himself that money because he didn't go to the markets in Hini and Shili, and he just advanced payment directly to the seller, and so therefore he is gaining by this transaction. So Amrle, Rava answer, Rav Barav, the Kuyav Leinami. In this case, you're right. The buyer has to give this fee to the seller in order for there not to be a ribbis issue. Whereas Ravashi gives a different answer. Zuzi de Inchi inu of the Lesav Siruse, a man's money does the work for him. In other words, when a person goes into the market with cash and word goes around that he wants to buy something, sellers are going to approach him directly, so he's not going to need a middleman, and therefore the question is not a valid one in the first place. And here we continue discussing Psika al Paris, focusing on what we've been calling the Shar, the fair market value, and in this Gemara we're going to be seeing that there are other price points as well. I think Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yosef Dam Chavai, Rabbi Yosef both say, Hi man, do you have Zuzi at Tar Harifa? If someone gave money for the Tar Harifa for the early price, he has to show up to the threshing floor. What's a Tar Harifa? So this is the market value early in the season, like we mentioned at the top of the Amud. When is this? So after the harvest, Anim would go through the field, gather leket, and then sell it for a lower price than the regular. And again, that's earlier on in the season. And what Rabbi Yosef are discussing over here is that Reuven went to Shimon, for example, and he gave him money for goods, but it was based off of the Tar Harifa, this early price. And what they're saying is that the only way this is valid and that there's no ribbis issues is that if he shows up at the threshing floor, if Reuven goes to Shimon's threshing floor and he checks out the produce, that confirms the sale and only then it's valid. The Gemara asks, Lamai, what does this help? Why does he have to go to the threshing floor to confirm this is a valid sale? Ela Mikna, if we're going to say that he's acquiring the produce like that, well, Halaykani, he's not acquiring the produce. There's no kinyan that was made showing up at the threshing floor and waving, saying, hello, I'm here, come check it out. That's not an official kinyan. And Ela Kabula Ela Mishapara, if you want to say that it's for Mishapara, meaning that when he shows up at the threshing floor, that confirms that this is an official sale and he's not allowed to back out anymore. And if he does, he gets Mishapara. Well, Ki Lo Emes Chazi Na Mekabel Mishapara. Even if he doesn't show up at the threshing floor, he should get a Mishapara for backing out of the deal. Because the moment he gave the money, that itself already is Mechavim and a Mishapara. So what is showing up at Shimon's threshing floor do us any good? And the answer is, Lo Emes Kabel Mishapara. Really, it actually is to get a Mishapara. Meaning if somebody backs out, there's going to be a Mishapara. So why is it that he has to show up to the threshing floor in order to accomplish this? Because Uman Diyav Zuzi Atar Harifa, somebody gets involved in a business deal like this, he pays money based off of the early price, Lebe Trey Tlasa Yaev, he actually gives to two or three different sellers. And the reason why is because he wants to make sure that he's going to get the produce that he needs, but not everybody's going to have good produce at this time in the season. And therefore, he pays two or three different people making the same exact stipulation. And therefore, Imis Chazile, if he shows up to the threshing floor to check out the produce, Som Chadaite. So the seller now has Smichas Das. The seller relies on the fact that the buyer is serious and that he's going to buy from him. And only then the Mishapar kicks in. Viloi, but if the buyer never showed up to the threshing floor, Amarle, the seller can tell the buyer, Amina, I told myself, that you found produce that was better than mine and you ended up buying that produce. Again, as we just said, a buyer will make this deal with two or three different sellers. And so if the buyer never showed up to the seller's threshing floor, he could always say, I figured you went to one of the other people you had given money to and therefore I never had smichas das that this was a valid sale and there would be no Mishapar in that situation. Now, Omer Ravashi extends this and tells us, now that you're saying that all has to do with smichas das, whether or not the seller relies relies on the fact that the buyer is going to buy it from him, even if he bumps into him in the marketplace, meaning the buyer bumps into the seller in the marketplace and tells him, you know what, I'm going to buy it from you. Over there as well, the seller has smichas das that the buyer is going to do so, and there would be a misha para in this case as well if somebody backs out. And we conclude the Gemara with three different dinim from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says as follows, Kol Rabisa, the general rule of Ribbis is, Kol agar notar le asar. Agar notar literally means reward for waiting. Agar means reward or payment, and notar means waiting. So anytime a person is going to be rewarded monetarily for waiting, that's asar. The general idea of Ribbis Dai Raisa is exactly this. Ruvain borrows $100 from Shimon now, and Shimon allows Ruvain to use it and pay back at a later time. And the stipulation is that Ruvain has to pay $120 because Shimon is waiting for Ruvain, allowing him to use the money. That's agar notar, and that's asar. And there's many different transactions that this would come up in. As we've had before, there's Ribbis Dai Raisa, Ribbis Dai Rabbanan, advance payments, reductions, surcharges, all sorts of things could fit under agar notar. A second in from Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Haiman deyav zuze lekira, somebody who pays the wax seller for blocks of wax, v'ka'azli dalad, and the standard price is 4 blocks of wax for a zuz, v'amar le, but the seller tells the buyer, yohiv nolach, hey, I'll give you 5 blocks per zuz if you give me the money right now, and I'll give you the blocks later on. And so isnu gabe shari, if the seller has these blocks of wax right now, he's just only going to deliver them at a later date, this is permitted. However, lesnu gabe usur, if he doesn't have them, it's usur. The Gemara's pita, this is obvious. We've had this case many times. If he has the produce in stock, so then it's not considered ribbis. If he doesn't have the produce in stock, then it is ribbis. What's Rav Nachman's chiddush over here? The answer is, the whole chiddush is, the islay ashrei b'masa, it's talking about where he has stock in town. What does it mean, stock? It's not his own stock. It's where this seller is really a middleman, and he had already made an order with other wax sellers, and they owe him wax. So his middleman technically has wax. It just hasn't been delivered to him by his suppliers. And so, you might have thought, keeping the islay ashrei b'masa, since he has the stock that's owed to him in the town by his suppliers, they just have to make their deliveries. It's like a situation where a person says, please lend me something until my son comes home, or please lend me something until I find the key to my storage house, and then I'll open it up and give it back to you. And we learned a while ago that this is okay, and there's no ribbis issue over here. And so you might think that this is a very similar situation. When Reuven gives a zuz to the wax seller, and this wax guy says, I'll give you 5 instead of 4, and the wax guy knows that he has a shipment coming tomorrow, it's still not okay. The chiddush is, since it's missing collection, the shipment still hasn't come to the wax seller. It's as if he doesn't have it, and he's not going to get involved in this transaction with the buyer unless he actually has it in stock right now. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Rav Nachman's third din. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.